Good morning. How's your mission? To which many of you said, what mission? What? Am I supposed to be on a mission? And others of you said, which mission? I got a lot of missions. Where are we going? Well, this morning we are going to rock your mission. And so you have a rock sitting there on your chair and you're wondering, what happened? Did they not clean the church? What's going on? We are going to use this as we work through the message today. So later on, right now you can just set it beside you and let it hang out there, and we'll bring it in later as we work our way through. So we've been working through this idea of adulting, and today we're going to talk about do you mission as an adult? Do you interact with it as an adult? We've been working through that what really causes you to grow up. It's a super simple principle, is that when you accept a role given to you by God that is defined by God and that you answer to God, it changes you. It begins to help you to be able to grow up, and that in turn impacts people's lives. And so as we talk about mission, the first thing I want to start with is this, is that you love to love God. You want to love God. For those of you who've never experience God to this point in your life. You hear us talking about it. You hear us talking about salvation. You hear us talking about a personal relationship with God. Even if you have not stepped into that relationship yet, you desire it. And if you have stepped into that relationship, you know what it's like to experience God. It's what you desire. It's what you love. You love to see God provide. Sometimes people want to see God to provide so bad, they make it up. They're like, oh, God did that, and you're watching it like, no, I don't think so. I think it just worked out that way. And you just want so bad. But when you see God provide in a way that you're like, whoa, did not expect that. How did that ever, there's only one way that ever happened. God has provided. We love that. And we love to see God change lives. Yes, we love to see God change our life, but we love to see God change somebody else's life. When you see Him move into somebody's life and they experience God and it changes them and therefore changes their marriage. It changes them and therefore changes their children. When you watch God change a family tree where generation after generation after generation is brokenness and hurt, and sometimes abuse, and you watch God walk into that and change that family tree, you love it. I love it. I want that for you. But you may be at a point in your life where you say, wait, but I have tried to follow God. I have tried to follow God with my finances, with raising my kids, with my business, with my marriage, but it hasn't turned out the way I'd hoped. It didn't go the way I had hoped. When I was younger, I might have bought into what you're saying, but it didn't really work out that way for me. Well, today, we are going to jump into God's mission for your life. And we're going to jump into missioning like an adult. And so we're going to I'm going to start with our big idea, which is this. This idea comes from the Bible, but it also comes from a lot of years of observation. To some degree, today's message is the old man giving you wisdom that he's seen. And if we had the old man, I'd have him speak, but I'm going to take his place instead. So here we go. When your mission is you and yours, do you understand you and yours? It's about you and yours. Might be your family, might be your business. It's yours. It's you and yours. When your mission is about you and yours, the longer you live, the smaller God seems to be. You'll start out big and excited and like, yeah, I can't. I'm so excited about the future. So excited about what God's. But the longer you live, the smaller He gets. When your mission is His mission, when your mission is His mission, when you adopt His mission, when you accept His mission defined by Him, you answer to Him. The older you get, the bigger God clearly is. And we're going to jump into the same story that we've been working through, which is the nation of Israel is left Egypt. They came to the Red Sea, crossed it over. They're come to the land of Canaan, and they were supposed to go into Canaan. And when they got there, they looked, they went in and spied on the land. They found grapes so big, the bunches of grapes were so big, they had to tie them to a tree, and two men had to carry them. That's how plentiful this land was. This is what God wanted to give to them. This was His mission for them. But they didn't believe Him. And so all of those 20 years and older, everybody was wandering in the wilderness until 20 years and older had all died. And then they came into the land, and we discovered last week, we talked about Caleb. They had come into the land, they had begun to conquer the land, and Caleb says, "Hey, I still believe God. I still believe God. I'm as strong as I ever was. Let me have that land." And they gave him the land. And this is the same book, the book of Joshua, but it's the last chapter of Joshua. So they've conquered the land. It's time to divide it up and give it to these different tribes so they can completely make it their own. And Joshua gathers them together, and this is where we start. "Then Joshua assembled all the tribes of Israel at Shechem. He summoned the elders, leaders, judges, and officials of Israel, and they presented themselves before God." So he gathers the whole nation together. "Joshua said to all the people, 'This is what the Lord God of Israel said long ago to your ancestors.'" And he goes all the way back to Abraham. He goes from Abraham, and he walks through how God had called them, that this nation had been called to go on this mission. He says, "But I took your father Abraham from the land beyond Euphrates, and I led him throughout Canaan and gave him many descendants." And then he walks through all these descendants. There's Isaac, and then there's Jacob, and then Jacob's family, which moves to Egypt. They're there for 400 years, and then they're delivered out through the plagues that go against Egypt, and then they get to go to the Red Sea. Then they're trapped at the Red Sea. And then the ocean opens up. Now know this. All of these people that are hearing this, they were 5 years old when they experienced it. They were 20 and under. So they experienced going through the Red Sea. They were 5 years old. They saw it. They saw God's amazing work in their lives. He said, "You saw with your own eyes what I did to the Egyptians. Then you lived in the wilderness for a long time." And he talks about they ran into enemies, the Amorites and so on and so forth. He said, "I delivered you from them. So he blessed you again and again. I delivered you out of his hand. And then you went into Canaan." And he talks about how in Canaan he tore down the walls of Jericho. It was miracle after miracle. It was God's provision after God's provision as they went in and took on these battles. And then he said, "I sent the hornet ahead of you, which drove them out before you." We don't know exactly what the hornet is, but it looks like it was the fear that was sent into the enemy before they went into the land of Canaan. The people in the land of Canaan said, "We heard you were coming. We heard you were mighty. We heard that your God is the ultimate God." So if you ever start a fight when you already think you're going to lose, pretty good chance you're going to lose. And God said, "I sent this hornet out in front of you. So I gave you a land on which you did not toil, and cities you did not build, and you live in them and eat from vineyards and olive groves that you did not plant." Have you ever driven by a house and you're like, "Whoa, beautiful house. Oh my, I love that house." And then you begin to dream about how somehow you win it in a lottery or someone gives it to you for free. And well, that's what happened to them. They were given the land of Canaan. They didn't build it. They didn't grow. They didn't plant the vineyards. They were just able to move into it. Then he says this, "Now, fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness." Here's your mission. Here's the mission. God himself is the mission. He is the foundation to the mission. You serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your ancestors worshipped, beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. Serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, he gives them a choice. Then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. When it comes to mission, you have a choice. You have a choice to choose what gods you're going to serve or what God you will serve. Now, we don't have many idols hanging around. So what we do is we want to feel, we want to own, and we want to be somebody. We are tempted on a consistent basis, on a daily basis, to feel and own and be somebody. The idol or the God is how you're going to get that. What are you going to do to feel? God says that sex is for this incredible expression of oneness between a man and a woman only. The gods say, oh, no, 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 no. You deserve to feel now, and it's for you. You get how that works? And to own. How are you going to prove that you are somebody? Sometimes it's by owning, right? Who's going to provide for you? You have a choice. You really do have a choice. You can take and say, you know what, I've met God, and now I want to use him to accomplish my mission. And so the things that could be part of God's mission, which is your marriage. The marriage actually becomes the idol. That's how I'm going to feel. That's how I'm going to own. That's how I'm going to be somebody. It can be your career. It can be just about anything in your life. You're looking for success. It can be your kids. What is the mission of your life? Who's your God? Who's the one you're going to serve? Who's the one you go, listen, that's the purpose of my life? Then Joshua says this, but as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. This is my mission. My mission is to serve God. That's what I'm here for. That's what I do. And the people go, we too will serve the Lord because he is our God. They're like, this is awesome. Us too, we're with you. Joshua has a very interesting response. Can you imagine if we responded that way? And you come to church and you go, you know what? I want to serve God. And we say to you, you are not able to serve the Lord. He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your rebellion and your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, he will turn and bring disaster on you and make an end of you after he has been good to you. He's like, you can't do it. Don't say that. Don't stand up and say, I'm part of the mission. Because you're not going to be able to do it. But the people said to Joshua, no, we will serve the Lord. No, we mean it. We're in. Now then, said Joshua, throw away the foreign gods that are among you and yield your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel. What's your mission? And kind of the big question for you today is this. Have you had other gods? Have you been serving other gods? And you found Jesus and you said, that sounds good. and you put him on top of those gods? Yeah, I like the idea of Jesus loving me. I like the idea of being forgiven. I like the idea of going to heaven. That sounds good. And you've put him on top of your other gods. Joshua says, get rid of those gods. Now, I'm going to pick on this one because I've watched this over the last 6 months. This is just one. Some of you found your feeling through drinking. And not just having a beer, but it keeps going. And you have found Christ, and he is your mission. And you put him on top of that. And you keep trying to serve both gods. Joshua says you can't do it. Throw away the other gods. You're still trying to be somebody through your job. Throw away the other gods. You still really have, you're just saying, God, make my marriage better, make my marriage, make my, throw away the other gods and serve God alone. And the people said to Joshua, we will serve the Lord our God and obey him. Then he took a large stone. I didn't think it would be wise to put large stones on your chair. And he set it up there under the oak near the holy place of the Lord. He said to all the people, this stone will be a witness against you. It has heard all the words the Lord has said to us. It will be a witness against you if you are untrue to your God. Let this stone be a reminder of your promise. This is what you promised. You promised not that God, but the holy Jehovah, Jesus. He's my mission. So, what I'd like you to do is take these stones and put it somewhere. I would like you to actually write on it. Some of your stone might not be big enough, but write on it what your mission is. Who is your mission? And put it somewhere, whether that be somewhere in the kitchen or somewhere by your bedstand, that on a consistent basis, every day, you can pick up the stone and remember your mission. Now let's remind ourselves, when your mission is you and yours, the longer you live, the smaller God seems to be. What happens is that you put God on top of this other idol, which is you and yours. And when you first came to Christ, you were so excited. He was it. He was everything. When you first trusted Christ, you had come with all of this sin and all of this guilt and all of this trouble, and he took it, and you were free. And you're like, I only want to love him. But as life went on, you traded in his mission for you and yours. And so you began to pray that your marriage would get better. And it didn't. So God got smaller. And then you began to pray that God would do something to change your dad or change your mom or change someone. And they didn't change. And your God got smaller. And then you prayed for God to provide for you financially, but you just kept practicing the same practices you used to do, and you served the same debt you used to serve, and you treated your money the same way you used to treat your money. It was the same God. It was the other God. And your God got smaller. This is the way I wish so badly I could just pray and make this happen. That you could experience what it's like to grab a hold of God's mission, and it's the mission. Because then what he calls you to do is he calls you, well, let's talk about this. Let's practice this a little bit. He calls you to handle your money as though he was the mission, which is super simple, which is this. I give the first that I make, I give it to God. Why? It's my mission. Not only that, every penny I ever make, it's his. It's his. And so I spend that money based on his mission, which often gets you in trouble. You don't have enough money. You gave it away. And guess what happens? You watch him provide in ways you never thought possible. And he gets bigger. How about your relationships? God has called you men to love your wife so that she blossoms, not so that she loves you back. And so, but you put, but wait, I'm first. My mission, me, I want to enjoy my marriage. And so, but what happens when you throw that away and you go, no, 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 God is my joy. She's the one I'm going to love. It's hard. It's really hard. And sometimes it looks like it's never going to work. And oftentimes you're like, I can't do this. But you keep trusting him, and that is your mission, period. He begins to blossom your wife. And you watch that change. And he gets bigger and bigger. It's true with your career. It's true with your obsessions. Hobbies. Obsessions are not bad. Like when you fall in love with golf and it's just so fun and you, and 10 years later you hate golf, but anyway, you fall in love with it at the beginning, right? You love it. You're obsessed with it. Did you know that your hobbies are part of the mission? Yeah, absolutely. Hobbies are some of the best way. Oh, I'm sorry, I missed a really important part. What's the mission? What's God's mission? To reach, to save those who are lost and to help other people grow to become like Christ. That's the mission. Well, this Saturday, how many of you love dogs? First service, they wouldn't raise their hand. They were afraid I was setting them up. Now, in my block, we've met most of the people around my block. I've only met two of them. So I walk around the block and no one talks to me. Lori gets out this little dog and walks around the block. Everybody talks to her. Well, this Saturday, we are going to be in Brookdale Park doing Spreading Smiles. Bring your dog. We're going to hand out dog treats and whatever else dogs like to people at the park. It's part of the mission. Did you know that your dog is part of the mission? Absolutely. Now, when you trade in whatever gods you have for God's mission, you're going to experience God. You're going to see him provide in ways you're dumbfounded by. You're going to watch him change lives. But you have to throw away the other gods and serve him only. We're going to wrap up our series today by having Josh come and share with us. Josh really has experienced what we've been talking about. That the way, that what caused you to grow up is when you receive God's mission, God's role, defined by God, and that you answer to God. And so I'm really excited for Josh to share this with us. Josh, come on up.
Thank you very much. Hi, everybody. When Pastor Chris first asked me to talk about the different roles that I've accepted in life, a phrase actually came to mind. And it's not directly lifted from the Bible, but evidence of it can be seen throughout. There's a phrase in the world that says that luck is when preparation meets opportunity. And I think the same can be applied to blessings and miracles. You see, when we prepare our hearts, then we are more ready for the opportunities or the roles that God gives us, right? When we prepare our hearts and we accept those roles, then we receive blessings, but we are also able to be blessings to others. I'll talk more about that later. Growing up, I didn't really have to try very hard for a lot of things. God gave me lots of intelligence, but apparently not a lot of common sense. And I didn't have to try hard in school. I was getting A's throughout school. And, I mean, it was also public school in Alabama, so there's that. And so I didn't do much homework, didn't do much studying, and did really well in elementary, middle, high school. I took those same habits to college, and that didn't turn out so well because college is like sort of more real world than high school, and I actually failed a few classes in undergrad, but I still continued on with those terrible habits and into graduate school, I was studying to be an actor, and I was still, by the end of grad school, I had turned my thesis in months after graduation was supposed to happen. So they didn't let me walk for graduation. I had already moved to New York City by that time. And I had to come back to Virginia Beach to defend my thesis, then go back to life in New York City. But I was thinking about the verse that God looks after the sparrows. They don't toil, they don't work, and yet God looks after them. I'm like, well, I guess I don't have to work hard either. And so I didn't, and it was not good. So when I moved to New York City, I was alone. Just utterly alone, because I had a home church in Mobile, Alabama. But when I moved to Virginia Beach for grad school, I didn't look for a home church. And so I wasn't walking. I still believed in God, still had a relationship, but I wasn't walking with God in grad school. When I moved to New York City, I didn't look for a home church. I wasn't walking with God in New York City. And so I was very alone. I thought to myself, oh, you know, it would be nice to have a wife get married. It would be nice to have a house. It would be nice to have a stable career in acting, whether it's stage, screen, voiceover, whatever. That would be nice. But I wasn't proactive in any of those things. I wasn't taking on the role. I wasn't preparing myself for those roles. I wasn't, even though in grad school I was studying to take on roles in plays and on camera and voiceover. I was studying for and preparing for those, but I wasn't preparing for the role of real life. And so I was alone. I for a solid 10 years, I didn't have a girlfriend or go on a single date. And a friend of mine suggested that I try online dating. And I assumed, living in New York City, that online dating was just about finding sex. That's it. And so I didn't want that. That's not what I was looking for. After some convincing and after really thinking about it, though, I decided to take on the role of a gentleman seeking courtship, right? To really do this the right way. So I poured myself into it. I filled out all of those profiles on the different dating sites and different dating apps and really presented myself fully, saying, this is me, and this is who I am, and this is what I'm looking for in my wife. I had to wade through so many terrible profiles that were only like half filled out, people just looking for a good time or just looking for a free meal, right? It's like even simple questions like, what's your favorite color? You'll have to wait and see. What? they're not taking it as seriously as I am. I was looking for a wife. Finally, after a few months of wading through that stuff, I found the profile of a fantastic girl. And it was funny. It was fully filled out. I got a real sense of who she was. And my first message to her was, even if it turns out that you and I are not romantically compatible, I just want to be your friend and hang out because you are awesome. That hooked her in. It was also the truth. It was also the truth. And so we started talking online and on the phone. But because I was in Queens, New York, and she was in Clifton, New Jersey, it was a little tough to get our schedules lined up to actually have our first date. Finally, after about a month and a half of chatting with her that way, we finally did go on our first date, and then very quickly went on our second date. And after that, she asked me if I wouldn't mind asking her parents for their blessing and permission to court her. As a gentleman seeking courtship, I instantly accepted. And so I wanted to do things the right way. A couple weeks later, I came out to New Jersey on a Sunday, came to Skyline, met many of you, and then spent the day with Lemmy and Lillian Rodriguez, and as well as a lot of the Rodriguez clan outside of that, and people considered family, because when you have someone as precious as Desiree Rodriguez, yeah, you're going to have a lot of people who are making sure that you are right for her. They're protecting her, making sure that you are worthy of this girl, worthy to even date her, to court her. Thankfully, I passed those tests and got the blessing of Lemmy and Lillian to court their daughter. And in taking on that role of gentleman seeking courtship, it's like pre-husband, she was ticking off all the boxes of what I wanted in a wife. And so within a few months, I knew I need to marry this girl. So I was completely broke, so I wasn't prepared necessarily to take on the responsibility of pre-husband, fiancé. And so I needed to find a job to do that, take on that role, take on the provider role of doing these things. So God, because I had prepared my heart, God gave me the job to be able to afford the ring to propose to her. And I had to pass another test because I was still in the gentleman seeking courtship thing. That Christmas, I actually met Derek, and he took me to a diner and point blank asked, what are your intentions with my sister? And I said, my intentions are to marry her. Point blank, I was not afraid because I was in that role. I had accepted that role. So God provided the job to be able to buy the ring, get me out of some debt, and then I proposed, and she said yes, thankfully, and then I began as fiancé. I now had the role, I had to prepare for the role of being a husband. So we worked very hard. I found a job with some stable income that allowed me to continue to seek out work as a voice actor. And we also took Financial Peace University so that we could start our marriage off on the right financial foot. And we went through premarital counseling to make sure, again, we're starting everything out, preparing for the role of being a husband and preparing to be able to be that provider. So moved out to New Jersey, we got married, I took on the role of husband, and we've been working very, very hard I worked very hard to make sure that she was provided for and finding work that we could both do to pay our bills and everything. And then this past August, we prayed that we wanted to be in a house, in our own house, by August of that following year. Because I knew that I needed to provide that for my wife and for the future role of being a dad, which we're not pregnant. This is not a pregnancy announcement. But I knew I needed to prepare for that, to have space, because apparently little tiny babies take up a huge amount of space. So we needed a bigger place. And so we prayed and we prepared ourselves for the role of homeowners, and we closed on a house a little over a month ago, I think, and we are now moving into the house in a couple of weeks. Very, very excited for all of this. And when hopping back to being fiancé, I started coming to Skyline regularly so that I could prepare my heart in that way for the role of husband. And that helped me to grow tremendously. I now had a family. I was not walking alone. And it helped us and helped me so, so very much to take on the roles and responsibilities that God had for me. And when I moved to New Jersey, I was finally able to really get involved in Skyline and take on different roles of serving here. Now, even though I studied to be an actor and studied lots of different things, we wouldn't have been able to get the house, and I wouldn't have been able to do lots of these other activities here at Skyline unless I had prepared myself for that so that I could then help other people in this way too. Because sometimes God gives you gifts not so that you can succeed with that gift, but so that you can help others to succeed with it. We took on jobs teaching acting, like she teaches acting, I teach voice acting, and that helped us to grow tremendously so that we could actually afford to buy the house. It's all of this, it's preparation for the roles that God has given us. And through that, so we are able to help others to succeed in their acting careers. Even though we do get to experience that ourselves as well, we're helping others with that. And in serving here at Skyline, I'm leading worship second service generally, not today because I'm here. Second service lead worship for kids in Clubhouse. I am the on-camera guy for the announcements. We do lots of video editing and things. Like, all of that is so that others can succeed, so that others can be blessed, so that we can be a blessing, so that we can take on the roles to be a blessing. And I am so, so, so thankful that God continues to allow me and allow us to grow in those roles so that we can continue to be a blessing. And God has blessed us throughout all of that. And unless I had taken on those very specific roles that God laid out for me, none of this would have happened. None of it would have happened. I would still be in Queens, struggling and broke and alone, unless I had taken on those roles. So I'm very, very, very thankful for that.
Thank you, buddy. Thank you. So as we end the series, I'd ask you to take your rock, put it in your hand. Who will you serve? You may be here this morning and you have known Christ for 20 years. And without you knowing it, you traded in his mission for your mission. And today is the day that you get to choose. Is it going to be you and yours? Or is it going to be God and God alone? You may be here today and you've heard about this idea of coming clean with God, bringing your sin to him, bringing your idols to him, and asking him to forgive you and bring you into his family. Who is your God? Who will you serve? You got an opportunity to choose that today. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I'm going to pray for and thank you for that your mission is to seek and to save the lost. That's me. That's us. If you don't know how to say the words, and you want to choose God, it would go something like this. Lord, I have been serving the God of me. I've been serving the God of my ancestors. I've been serving the God of career and stuff and I don't want to anymore. I want to serve you, but just like Joshua said, I can't do it. But what I understand is that you've said that you died in my place. And that if I ask you, you'll forgive me. So Jesus, here's my sin. Please forgive me. And throughout the Bible, you've said that you would make me new. You would give me the strength to live out your mission. So, Lord, here's my heart. Make it new. Here's my future. Here's my very soul. Make it new. From this day forward, Lord, I will trust you. Help me to throw away the other gods. Help me to trade in my mission being me and mine for you alone. In your name we pray. Amen.